All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Yesterday, we began a series of a lesson on worshiping in spirit and truth, as Jesus declared this statement to the woman of Samaria in John 4, verses 23 and 24. In yesterday's lesson, we looked at the worship that we need to render to God in spirit and how that involves two things. It involves spiritual worship, and it involves worshiping with the right disposition. What we want to, in our study today, is to look at the other part of what Jesus said in reference to the worship that God seeks for us to engage in, and that is to worship God in truth. And to worship God in truth is equally important as worshiping God in spirit. To worship God in truth means to worship God in accordance with truth, as the truth directs. First of all, we must make sure we understand what truth is, or where do we get truth. The Bible defines for us what truth is. In John 17:17, in the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father, in reference to his disciples, he says, "To sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So we see then that God's word is truth. So what we must understand from this is that God's word is the only authority by which we can acceptably worship God. Many people stumble. In fact, many people utterly fail in their service to God because they are disobedient to his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we find, beginning with verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So again, we use the Jews as a classic example of vain worship. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus rebuked them in verse 7 when he said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So we see they failed in both parts of true worship, the worship in spirit, as we talked about yesterday, and the worshiping in truth. You see, when one worships with the traditions and the doctrines of men, as it is as Jesus says it is a hypocritical worship. If we truly love God, we would not use traditions and doctrines of men. And we would only be a hypocrite when we would claim otherwise. See, the truth authorizes five items of worship in the assembly. The Lord's Supper is to be observed every first day of the week in memory of the Lord's death. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we read in verses 23 and 24 these words. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And how often that we are to do this is stated in Acts 20 and verse 7, when we see the church at Troas. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. So the Lord's Supper is to be observed every first day of the week in memory of the Lord's death. And we're to give of our means as we have been materially prospered. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "As I gave orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in stores God has prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come." And we're told in 2 Corinthians 9, we'll not take time to read verses 7 through 14, but we are to, as we have prospered, give. We're to give liberally. We're to give not grudgingly nor of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Another thing that we're commanded to do in worship is to pray. Prayers are to be offered, both in praise and in thanksgiving unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also." And we're to glorify God in our singing. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, this is what singing does. It brings glory and honor unto God. And we're told in Colossians 3 and verse 16 to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Singing and making melody with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. And Hebrews 2 and verse 12 says, "We're to offer the sacrifice of praise to the fruit of our lips, giving honor unto him." So we're to glorify God in our singing. And then there's the teaching of God's word that is to be done, just like it was done there in Acts 20 and verse 7, when the church at Troas, upon the first day of the week, assembled together to break bread. We see Paul preached unto them, and he continued his speech until midnight. So we see then that all the sincerity in the world will not justify one act in religion unless truth is present. You know, today, many sincere people are worshiping, but without truth. An architect draws up a set of blueprints for a house, and he gives them to 100 building contractors, and he asks them to build a house according to the blueprint. After the houses are completed, there should be 100 houses exactly alike, because they all came from the same blueprint. The only way that the houses could be different is because contractors took liberty with the blueprints. And if they took liberty with the blueprints, they did not produce what the architect desired, but what they themselves wanted. So I want to pose a very simple but yet a very important question. Why are there so many denominational churches with varying forms of worship today? Is it because they have taken liberty with God's blueprints? Have they not added their own wishes and desires rather than what God himself wants? You see, the Bible instructs us repeatedly to be aware or beware of men. In Matthew chapter 7, it's in verse 15 that we say, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." This is Jesus making this statement. It's in Colossians chapter 2, that is in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, one of the saddest stories in the Bible is one that's found in 1 Kings 13. We won't take time to read from verses 15 to 24, but a young prophet perished, not by wickedness or a lack of sincerity, but he perished because he believed a lie. Now, we cannot judge a thing to be true by fellow man. The young prophet took the word of another man, a fellow prophet. So we must understand that man can be wrong. Elders can be wrong. Preachers can be wrong. Apollos was in Acts 18. He knew only the baptism of John. It took Priscilla and Aquila to teach him the truth concerning the baptism of Christ. And there are many false teachers that are telling lies today. Why is that? Well, we're told very simply, but yet very true to the point, in 2 Corinthians 11. Let's notice what we read in verses 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an apostle of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works. Friends, believing a lie has terrible consequences, and we must make personal application. We too can be deceived. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In Romans 16, verse 17, Paul said, Now I beseech you, brethren, mock them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. See, we must always test what we hear. We must always test what's being said to us. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we see that those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, it says, Try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, we're told, Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And we need to read and we need to study for ourselves. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hebrews 5 and verse 14, But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we must never misuse, nor must we ever misapply God's word. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, it says, For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. People have many different ideas as to what constitutes acceptable worship. However, Jesus sums it up of what true worship is in one simple sentence. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our worship to God must be a spiritual worship from the heart and in accord with truth. And without these, our worship is vain, it's unacceptable to God. So let us strive to be true worshipers of God. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.